15 to 20 million jobs.
Oh, I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We are national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia and the tri-state area. And as always, I ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in here on 860 if they live outside Philadelphia or anywhere in the USA or the world. They can also tune in by clicking on the front page Listen Now link at AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Well, thanks to all of the people that go out of their way to send our emails out to other people. It certainly helps us to spread the word. If you receive that email announcement this morning, send it out. Invite family members and friends to tune in right now on the internet, or you can ask them to tune in when you get the rebroadcast email later today. Well, I want to first of all thank our distinguished panel members, Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, the East Coast Vice President of SCORE, who will be with us, and Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash. I've done my job for the FCC. Now we can get on to some business. Now, today, I'm going to take something that people suggested to me in the last few days, and I certainly had a lot of conversations with people regarding, of course, Black Friday and Small Business Saturday and Cyber Monday. And I asked people to tell me what they saw in their travels, and I'll mention that in a little bit. But today I'm going to ask each of our panel members if they would give me some update on what they see happening in America's business communities. I want to also hear from you directly, and our listeners want to hear from you. What do you see happening in the job market for full-time sustainable jobs as you go around, as you talk to people, as you were possibly out shopping over the last weekend and maybe on Cyber Monday on the internet? Tell me what you have seen, what you're interested in seeing changed happen for us right now. I'm going to start off with Mark. How are you, Mark?
Good, Mike. How are you? And good morning, guys and listeners. Mike, interesting question because, as you know, I own the Made in America stores and General Welding and Fabricating, so I got both sides of the spectrum in a way, on the manufacturing side and the retail side. Going out this past weekend, number one, I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. I enjoyed family and food and fun, and we had a lot of good time. And then Friday was Black Friday, so we had given off all our people first time, Thursday for Thanksgiving, gave everybody off and said, hey, have a good time with your family. And then Friday morning, we opened all stores at 6 o'clock a.m. So we have 8 outlets for the Made in America store stores, and 2 of them are seasonal. So really 6 working brick-and-mortar stores and then the 3 websites. But I'd like to say Friday, the malls, I personally went around and surprised my workers and things and just kind of see how it was. I do exactly what you're talking about, try to get a feel. And it was busy. The parking lots were filled. It kicks you right into the Christmas holiday mode. There wasn't too much snow. The weather was right. Talking to people in our stores, we held our own. We did good on Black Friday. I see the country was down about $1 billion in sales is what I think they reported. But we really did good. I see the economy. People, the gas is as low as you can. My mother was just up in Michigan and sister, they've seen it at $1.69 a gallon. You're at $2 average, so that gives people more disposable income. But what I see, the other side of this, though, is the manufacturing side. I'm in the oil and mining industry, and with gas prices low at the pump, it's really affecting the people that put money in research, development, and making oil and mining equipment, especially myself. I do work for one of the largest companies in the country, or if not world. They're the Cadillac of the industry. And boy, is manufacturing down on the oil mining side, and I see a couple places closing left and right around me. So Mike, you know, retail, I think, for the holiday season is about normal. It's compared to last year, and I know that through numbers. It scares me a little bit on watching the backside of some of the stuff happen. I don't got a real comfortable feeling with the first quarter 2016.
Now, Mark, I'm going to follow up. If I asked you what would be the main cause of that happening, people not having the confidence to go out and shop and feel good about things?
You know, people, you know, when I'm in this oil and mining industry, and I know a lot of people, the company I deal with, you know, there's 300 employees plus laid off and a couple others around 100, 200. You know, when people lose, you know, get laid off, and I hate to see that. I personally, you know, lost, you know, out of my 70 employees, I had to lay off 40. And nobody really gets it unless you went through that. You're laying employees off, great people that want to work, and you don't have work for them. So I really feel, you know, there's a lot of layoffs in Western New York area because of this. That affects people on what they spend, too, because they know they got to save. You know, they don't know the future now. They lost confidence. They lost some comfort. And I see that happen around me because I follow that. So it's tough situations during the holidays if you lose a job. So there's some layoffs. Again, I see stuff 6 months before a lot of people report it on the news.
Very well said. Oh, Mark, thank you so much. And, Rich, I know that you were out doing your thing on the weekend. What did you see, and what kind of feedback did you get from the people?
Well, a couple things. Good morning, guys. Hope everyone did have a great holiday also. Mark was texting me this morning about college. So, Mark, you're going to need to bring that up later.
And I'd like to. I'm going to ask you.
Sorry, guys, for my strained voice. I've been doing a lot of work lately for my TV show idea that I've created and I'm trying to pitch it. So sorry for the strained voice. I'm usually yelling and screaming and cursing Michael before the show anyway. So, but it was a little bit more in abundance this week. So I hope everyone had a great holiday. I saw small businesses, Michael. They had a lot of traffic. You know, they had a lot of customer traffic. My customers who are retail businesses, especially small businesses, they're reporting back to me this week. The reports are coming in that they had pretty good weekend and also a pretty good Monday. But I think the sense for the business owners I know, Michael, is that it just doesn't seem to be enough. You know, it just doesn't seem to be enough, and it's not because I believe my customers and the businesses I know, the business owners, I don't think they're really driven by greed. I think they're just driven by the fact that they have unique offerings and products, but that confidence that Mark you just mentioned. See, that's the thing, Michael. That confidence is, you can look at how people spend and we can measure that. Measuring confidence is a bit of a trickier science, and you just really, you know or you don't know. It's an intuitive, it's a sense of how business owners are feeling about not only the rest of the year, but in the upcoming at least first quarter 2016. So I don't think my customers and the business owners I know are facing the future negatively, but there's a lot of uncertainty still, Michael.
Yes.
You know, and as a business owner, you know, you have to fight through so many things. You have to fight through market forces, unpredictable economic factors, and then you've got that confidence. You just have to work overdrive, right, to secure sales and to keep customer retention at as high a rate as possible.
Very well said. And Larkin Connolly, you've been listening. What would you like to add?
Well, good morning, Michael and Rich. Good morning, everybody. And happy Thanksgiving. I hope you had a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. I would have to say that, by the way, we did have a full house. We had six people staying in the house, and then we fed 12, so it was all family, and that's exactly what the holidays are about. Mark hit the nail on the head. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Mark hit the nail on the head. It's all about family. And so is just about everything we do in this country. It all starts with a good, solid foundation of a good family. But I would have to add to what both Mark and Rich said by saying that, you know, confidence is lacking in more than just the economy. The economy is the element of our life that takes the biggest hit when our confidence is as low as it is now. But you're a Joe consumer with your wife, Mary Beth, consumer driving down the street with some wallet and certainly a credit. And you want to have a great Christmas for your family. And you turn on the radio as you're driving to the mall and you hear our president say that we're the United States of America is primarily responsible for all of the bad air and the bad environment that we have, and that, you know, we apologize and that we're going to help straighten it out. We changed the channel because we want to get friendlier news, and we hear about ISIS and Al-Qaeda and all of the lives that are being lost and all of the questions that are being raised by that. So, you know, confidence just comes in more than just the economy itself. It comes in the country. It comes in a level of confidence that puts you in the right frame of mind and allows you to have that comfortable feeling that will allow you to go out and spend some money on the economy. That's what I would add. I was afraid that this year was going to be like that, but you just can't bombard the American consumer with as many problems as we have right now without thinking that it's going to affect their confidence in the economy.
You are right. Rich, Mark,
Michael,
Larkin.
Larkin, I have to interject a couple points. First off, the president has officially become the highest paid weatherman in the world. I don't know of any weatherman who earns $400,000 a year. Do you guys know? And has 24-hour taxpayer armed security. I don't know of any weather person in the world who makes as much. And do you know, Larkin, I wish for just one time the media, which is mostly Democrat-leaning, we all know this. I wish for once they would just ask the president and Hillary Clinton and Elizabeth Warren and all the other wannabe Native Americans and ask them a question and say, hey, Mr. President, hey, Miss Matt, hey, Madam this, Mr. that, can you actually explain for us the science behind how these gases allegedly melt the ice caps? What is the science of it? And just watch the answer. And we can listen, Michael, about the scientific community, who's mostly made up of hood rats smoking doobies coloring their hair with Tang. And that's the scientific community. Okay? While we fly around the world on private jets that consume 400 gallons of fuel per hour. Environmentalism is one of the ultimate progressive fake outrage manifestations. And one other point, Larkin. Recently, the president went to Malaysia, and he went in front of the Malaysian people and said, don't be like America. I mean, yeah. Is this not the Twilight Zone? Which is my favorite TV show of all time.
No,
I don't think Rod Serling, the creator, realized just how crazy we were going to get when he did his show.
You know, Rich, you're right. And, the whole focus on the news media seems to be on the negative aspects of things. On a positive side, as I went around to the stores, I talked to some people, and they said, well, we were holding out on some of our shopping because we were looking to get the best deals. We learned over the last 5-6 years that unbelievable deals come out on Black Friday and Small Business Saturday and you know, all that. And on Cyber Monday, the best price possible, 50% off, 45%, the whole gig. So they said they were holding off so that they made, you know, a good deal on that particular weekend. The thing that concerned them is the fact that shopping was down somewhat this year in the stores, but up on the internet. Cyber shopping is much, you know, easier. But one of the things that I went around purposely one full day, I saw for myself, and I talked to the people, and most people behind the counters don't understand. They just grab a box, you want that, or you know, they ring you up. They have no idea really what is going on, especially seasonal people. I would say, Larkin, 85% of foreign workers greatly benefited by our Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and of course Cyber Monday. When you look at televisions, radios, toasters, and all the other things that are coming from abroad, people were buying those in big numbers, especially the electronics, the TVs and all, because they had great prices. All of those are made foreign.
Yeah, that's true. And to me, is another issue. You know, I've got to add something to my comments about our president. I come from the school currently where I'm not smart enough, nor have I read enough, and shame on me, I guess, to know whether climate change is an issue or not. I truly don't know. I think it's a debatable issue at this point, and I really do want to hear both sides. I know what China is doing right now by pouring all this carbon into the air is not good, obviously. And I know that what we did back in the beginning of the industrial age wasn't good either, but we cleaned up our act relatively quickly. I just think it's debatable. I just find it hard to really debate the issue when my president is running around playing mea culpa in front of the entire world. I just find that really hard to accept, but whatever.
You know, Larkin, you're right. And you know what I think would help end a lot of this nonsense? I'd like to see 100 weather experts come on a place like C-SPAN or Fox News and debate it for 2 or 3 hours, put this thing to bed once and for all. What is the actual things happening and what is really the stuff that's overhyped?
Hey, Mike, when they can predict the weather, our snowmaking machine off of Lake Erie in western New York, then I might start believing something, because it's hard to predict weather in western New York. We got a snowmaking machine, the lake stays warm and open, and the weather blows over, all of a sudden we have 7 foot of snow on the ground, right? So weather's very hard to predict. I got a question, and I want Rich to answer first. Does going to college make you smart? Rich, what's your take on that?
I mean, the answer is not necessarily, Mark. I mean,
because I'm talking about problem solving, what we do every day, and it kind of lines up with all, everything
yes.
we do.
And Larkin, you've got something on your signature where you say, I'm going to paraphrase because I'm going to probably butcher it here, that success is falling down and getting back up and trying, right? Something along those lines. So sorry if I didn't quite get it the way it should be. Mark.
And if failure is not falling down, but staying down.
Okay, I always read that quote every time you email us. And Mark, to try to answer your question here, the fact is that I believe that in our culture, okay, and in American society, we have gradually and progressively, and I'm going to use this word progressive with deliberately here, okay, we've progressively moved away from identifying things for how they really are, what they really are. Just call a spade, and as a very pro-education person, Mark, and I know that you are as well, right? The idea of education and the idea of what makes smart and someone who isn't smart, okay? The fact is that right now we just simply don't – we're moving away from just – because of political correctness and because of what I actually think is equally or as big a problem is self-censorship. People – concerned and afraid to say things for what how things really are. And I think that being smart and informed and having as objective a mindset as possible is a choice. You know, it's a personal choice and not having your head up in the marshmallow skies and the unicorns and the pots of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Because
that question you ask is a great question, and there's really a multifaceted answer, I think, to it.
And one thing I say, you know, America got selfish, greedy, and lazy. I used to say that a lot, but it seems like we've lost that common sense. And for some reason, people that didn't go to 8 years of college aren't treated the same as people that did. And I believe in education and training. But we lost that common sense, and every day I believe we problem solve. But sometimes, like, you know, Larkin, you were joking, you know, where we're going here and some of the things they come up with, I think we're way off track and we're way off point of what we got to work on. Where we talk Made in America matters, it's so simple and so much common sense. It works today for our consumers, our listeners, to go out and buy Made in America during this biggest 24 days left of the shopping season.
But Mark, that's a point that is, and its beauty is in its simplicity, and its beauty is in the fact that every reasonable person should be able to get behind and in support of Made in America, okay? As opposed to so many of our leaders and so many of their voters who are just they're just constantly apologizing for something about America. And there's a science, you know, Larkin, there's a skill, and we do it on this show, to talking about the fact that we have issues, some of which are very serious issues, but not in a way we're just serving as constant apologists for this country. I don't understand, guys. I don't get why so many people, and these are all progressives, every one of them that'll say it, is this kind of a person. I don't get why so many people who really seem to hate this country stay here. My recommendation to them is really simple. Go to your nearest international airport, get a one-way ticket, and get the hell out of here. No one will miss you. No one will miss you.
Can't agree more.
There's a skill. Michael, there's a science and a skill to being able to talk about our issues, but also we have to simultaneously constantly remind ourselves of the freedoms and liberties and these kinds of things that separate us. Our economic, on average, our opportunities are still better here. Doesn't mean we always get it right. Doesn't mean it's always perfect. But for some of these people that go in these fake outrage marches and protests, I want these guys to go to some of these third and fourth world countries, okay? And after 3 days, they'll be getting in the boat coming into the port of Miami here. That's what they'll be trying to do. They'll be trying to sneak back in because they'd love, because you just sometimes you just don't realize, you know, what you got until you lose it. And I just don't understand why, you know, voters are going to be voters, but national leaders, they're in front of the country and in the world. And Larkin, so many of them, they just serve to go and say, America, we're not bad, could be better. And these are our leaders. These are people elected doing this. Okay? And this all contributes to this lack of confidence that Mark, Larkin, and you guys are talking about.
That's right. And here, let me just say right now that we are coming up on the first weekend of December. Now, we went through the Thanksgiving holiday, Black Friday, and all that. Now I'm asking everyone who's listening and all of you, in fact, Mark, if you can even email out to your people an issue of your normal email that you send out, just letting them know that it is National Small Business Weekend, and ask them to go out and support the stores. Now, one of the things that I learned in doing this is that the stores are heavily overwhelmed, to be a better word, with foreign-made products. And for the past 20 years, I speak with merchandisers, and that's exactly how they would like to see it continue. Whatever they can do to keep their imported products on the shelves of America stores is exactly what they want to do. They've done it successfully between, say, 20 and 25 years, and now America's really in need of the jobs. But to get started with the jobs, the industries that they've already done so well presenting over in China and Japan and Vietnam and all these other places, it's really difficult for us to get up off the floor and try to do some of these industries because they've already got it all over us. And Mark, you know yourself, if you want to buy a shirt for a dollar, I'm just using that scenario, somebody else will tell you they can give it to you for 80 cents or 60 cents, anything to take away from anything good happening in the U.S. with our industries. So we have to bypass all that by going out purposely and picking up the American-made items and using that as our way of spreading the word to family and friends during the holiday season. Everybody knows already that all the televisions are made overseas. They already know that the cell phones are made overseas. Cell phones did an enormous business this week. Unbelievable. Not one of them made in the USA.
And Mike, I'd just like to tell our listeners again the importance. It's 28 days from Black Friday to Christmas, and the importance for retailers, and living retail for almost 6 years now, having 11 outlets with our websites and stores. We know retail inside and out and the destination side of it, and we live and breathe our inventory. But if you want to go out and buy Made in America, the most, you know, work you could do and the most help you could give these companies is right now. We started with Black Friday, which was a big day to shop, but then Small Business Saturday, this past Saturday, we had actually had a bigger day at our flagship store on that because people wanted to support local. Not only with us do you support local and your country, and now you move into these. There's about 23 days left, but this is the time where these retailers look to make back anything they lost, make a little bit of profit so they can keep everybody employed through these tough first quarter coming up. So again, Mike, Made in America matters. Our listeners, go out today, tonight, all your shopping, focus on that Made in America product because you can make change yourself. That consumer has so much power, and now is the time to use it.
And you're right, Mark, and I want to just say this too, that as I talk to people, people respond back to me and they say, well, a lot of us are employed as salespeople. That's good enough. I said, yes, but we could have double the jobs if we could just have 50% of the other products that you're offering with an American-made label. Your friends, your neighbors, your cousins, they would all be able to be fully employed. And when I say things like America has a need for at least 40 million jobs, we of course have 94 million Americans not in the workforce, but they say that the immediate need is 40 million full-time and part-time jobs to get the economy to some level of normalcy. The others are high school kids and college kids and people who could, you know, hold out because they're in school. But we need 40 million jobs. The only way we're going to do it is by keeping this message out. I spoke to someone yesterday, and I asked them, I said, do you think we're hammering this subject too much, talking about jobs? And they gave me a response back immediately. There's so few people speaking about it. Please don't give the message up. And that's very true. You turn on Fox News, CNN, everything else that you turn on, it's all talking about negativity, nothing about jobs. I suggested to one of our good elected officials in the state of Pennsylvania, I said, why can't you request 100 elected leaders in Washington to get together on a job summit? And they said, well, we would not want to rile up the free economy people. You know, you have to balance things out. So we talk about more common issues, like the overall economy. I said, well, jobs has a big part of making the economy right. Yeah, but jobs, we're in a free market economy. Michael, you don't understand. We can't dictate to businesses. So that may be true, and Larkin, you may correct me, but I think that by supporting the American-made label and going to the stores, whether it's a pizza shop or whatever, employing the American people, do it, because they're the people who are going to continue moving the country forward with something American. The next thing you know, we'll be getting pizzas from overseas.
You know, buying Made in America products right tonight at your store is an action plan. It's not lip service, Mike. You know, an action plan that works. That's what's nice about it. It works immediately. You know, a lot of our upper officials, national politicians, you know, never had a week-to-week paycheck-paying job. And
that's,
I don't
right.
think they can relate to what we're talking about a lot of times, and I think that's the major disconnect.
And I also, yes, the malls offer parking and convenience and this and that, but the local stores offer that personal touch. With a local store, you see all the millions of jobs. You know that small businesses account for more than 60 million. That's half the workforce that are doing their thing to keep the local community alive. They're supporting the little softball teams and things like that. And yet the people still run to the malls and say, well, the mall is where I'm going to get the best price. And I held out for the Thanksgiving, after Thanksgiving holiday sales, because I saw in the flyers that it was 50, 70% off. I said, well, just by the flyer, 50 to 70% off on a holiday weekend tells me that the product didn't cost more than 10% or 15% of what they're selling it for.
You know, I just had a retail chain visit me. They called last Friday on Black Friday, and they wanted to fly in Monday. I met with them. They have 100-plus stores in the eastern United States. They're privately owned, still started in 1900. Larkin, somebody, I'll tell you the rest of the story. But they want a store in a store of Made in America products, and it's an awesome avenue. It's where I want to take our company, you know, wholesale, and putting a Made in America section, 100% products in each store in this country. And it's awesome. And for the listeners, Mike, you know, my wholesale side, it's where we want to go. We can help people get this done and really expose all the vendors and manufacturers that we support.
Mark, you're absolutely right. People don't want to take the time to go searching for what is made in America.
We want to make it convenient.
Make it convenient. Yes, Larkin.
Well, it's a two-pronged problem, and it's supply and demand. And we are trying to create a demand. Mark is trying to create a demand, and he's doing a heck of a job. There's absolutely no question of that. And I think that your idea of offering that pocket franchise where a store can have a corner or a room or a section or an aisle that is dedicated to Made in America products is a absolute brainstorm. And is exactly what we need to create that demand. The step above that is obviously the supply chain. It's the ability to come up with the reliable, and I say reliable, they don't have to be cheap. It doesn't have to be a price point, because the sales job doesn't say that there's going to be a price point. What Mark is saying isn't promising a price point. What Mark is saying is that you're putting Americans back to work, that this is the way that the trickle-down economy works, and if you participate in it, you're not only helping your neighbors, but eventually you're going to help yourself. So what you're doing, Mark, is just a brainstorm. I'm just terribly sorry that in all the time I spend with SCORE helping small businesses that I didn't come up with that idea. I wish I had. But it's a brainstorm. It's absolutely a brainstorm. But what we have to work on the other side is to make sure that our movement is creating entrepreneurs that say, you know what, you are creating a demand, and it is being talked about, so I'm going to go out and make an investment. And I'm going to open a plant that makes widgets, because I'm convinced that I can sell widgets.
You're right, Larkin, and creating the demand is the job of the listeners, their family and friends. Speaking up where you shop has had an enormous amount of effect on the psyche of the people who are buying this stuff. What they tell me, Mark, is this: there's not a supply. The supply, if you want to satisfy 1,000 customers walking in the door, you need at least 600 of every item that they could possibly want for that shopping season. Most of our American manufacturers have downsized to the point that they're not able to do that. And so you can't blame the big national retailers for going elsewhere, going to the place that'll give them that supply and upon demand. And we have to change that in America. We've got to the point where we're satisfied going into the store, picking it up, and then we go home and say, oh, my brother is unemployed, my friend's unemployed, my neighbor's unemployed. We have to change that psyche. We have to say, yes, they're unemployed, and we are doing a good job at it. They are unemployed because too many people sat back, did nothing, and said nothing until now.
And we've got to the third leg of that chain, and Mark can speak about this endlessly. The third leg of that chain is creating a worker who is skilled enough to, you know, help us meet that demand. We've got to get trades back in our schools. We have to take this silly embarrassment that a tradesman is not, you know, the hoity-toity member of society that they should be. I mean, just so ridiculous. We have to put pride back in the country. I want to make one really, really quick statement. I finished this morning. I finished a book called Killing Reagan, and it was a story about Ronald Reagan and his presidency. Really started back in his Hollywood days, and all the way up through, and it dwelled an awful lot on where Hinckley was at the same time Reagan was in a particular place, and how they came together and the assassination attempt took place, and what the long-term loss was to mostly President Reagan. But I got to tell you, going into reading that book, I was a Reagan freak. I really did believe that the man could walk on water. I think he was like the man from La Mancha. He was a man for his times. The country needed, after the downtrodden Carter-esque talk about very similar to our current president, we needed somebody to walk in there and make us proud again. And I mean, he came in, and that's exactly what he did. So the answer to the question is yes, he does walk on water. And yes, he was one of our greatest presidents, and he was a man for his time. We needed him when he arrived, and he filled the bill just absolutely to the top. So I would advise you all to go out and read that book, Killing Reagan. It really lays out the kind of man he was and how many great things he did for the country.
Yes, Bill O'Reilly really did a great job with that. And and Reagan was a unbelievable leader. And he probably will go down in the history books as the last real great leader that we've had in some years. I mean, people have filled the job, but Reagan did the job.
What people don't understand is leadership is not intelligence. Leadership is the ability to get everybody to do what they need to do through the power of influence. It doesn't have anything to do with A's and B's and diplomas and degrees. It has nothing to do with that. Some of the greatest leaders I've met have been men and women who don't have even a college education. They're just great leaders. And that's what this country needs now. It's great leadership. And I want to tell you something. All things aside, Mark Andel is the guy that's doing exactly what I'm trying to define as what a leader is. He is leading in this effort that we are trying to accomplish.
You know, you're right, Larkin, and somebody like Mark Andel should actually be advising the presidential candidates, because they seem to want to dance around on all issues. Why aren't they talking specifics about jobs? Larkin, you mentioned about getting the trades back in the schools. I've asked two or three school district people if they could get together and have a discussion about bringing the trades back into our district here in the Philadelphia area. They are all for the idea. They say it's too expensive. Too expensive to reinvent what we had 25 years ago. I said, but it would really be very beneficial, because America needs every type of worker, not just someone graduating with a sheepskin that's a nice degree and then go, you know, to a menial job because there are no real jobs around. And they are balking at it. They say they don't have the money to keep what they have on the books right now. To add new trades and vocational arts is going to have to come from national leaders. In other words, the national people are going to have to demand that in every state, in every city, that this be discussed and put back on the books.
You know, one thing, guys, I believe in one team, one goal, and, you know, thanks for the kind comments. And I got to say, you know, my team, my family, my employees, what they do better than anybody, I could never buy them with $10 million. They work. Their work ethic is incredible. Would they work for free? Probably not. You know, no. But it's not about money. It's about one team accomplishing something, which is our movement. That's where our country, and I think with Mr. Reagan, you know, Larkin, it was one team, one country. Let's all help out and get this, big machine running again.
You're right. And Mark, there's too many political leaders pitting one against the other. It's disgusting. It's disturbing.
That's all you hear, right?
That's all you hear. And that's why I like going out and talking to people individually to see what's really on their mind. Most people say there is no national leader that they feel comfortable with. And Larkin, you made a comment a few weeks ago, which people reminded me about. And you said all politics are local. And you're right. However, there are the trade deals, the mandatory work requirement type things that all come from the federal government. Their example leads into the states. And so they have to lead and say to the school districts, we want you to bring us a proposal. What are you going to do to triple the amount of trades you have taught in your schools right now? Not one person is doing it.
So let me tell you why all politicians are local. Because any trade deal needs the approval of Congress. So send the right congressman to Washington, D.C. Send them with the right ideas of what needs to be done and what doesn't need to be done. That's where it starts. I mean, that's as local a national leader as you can possibly come up with.
Well, you're right. In this respect, right, you're absolutely right. And Larkin, not enough of the people, and this is a complaint to the people, not enough of the people speak to their elected officials on a local level so they really know what to do when they get to the state or the federal government. They just don't have any contact. Sometimes I ask people point blank, who is your representative? And they're like, they have no idea.
They're afraid of them. I truly believe that. I was watching the guy from South Philly that used to be a bouncer that's a congressman now, Brady. I was watching Brady at a parade a long time ago. But he is just absolutely approachable for what else he does and doesn't do. He's a very, very approachable representative. And people would walk by and like raise their hand and kind of give him a nod and wave. But nobody would walk up and get in his face and engage him and say, you know, what's going on? What's important in Washington right now? What are you considering? Blah, 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 blah. And you just don't hear that.
Well, this is a suggestion, Larkin, I'm going to make to the listeners and to Rich and Mark and yourself and to everybody that's involved in the community. Invite these elected officials to come to your local community events. From that invitation comes a response or no response. The congressman or the senator or whatever is too busy. But at least in that statement, you can say, Congressman so-and-so, we are considering to talk about our schools. We're considering to talk about we can't have any more taxes. We need things done in your local congressional district that would help jobs, bring back corporations. We need more enterprise zones. Nobody does that because, Larkin, you're right. They're afraid to get involved face-to-face with some of these people.
So, you know, invite your local congressman to do that in a year in which he's being reelected. He'll be there. I promise you, especially if it's inside his district. He'll be there.
You know, Larkin, did you hear from Roaring Springs?
Never. Not a word.
And I tried again. Mark, I don't know what goes on over there, but I will try again.
Mike, what a project for 2016. If we could make a difference there.
That's really pretty unbelievable. That's pretty unbelievable. I did try to find out. And, of course, they people in the area, that is the senator from that area, is a pretty decent guy. And the thing is, it could be a manpower problem. It could be a cost of maintaining that manpower in a community that is small. It only has like 2,500 people there in Roaring Springs, Pennsylvania. So it's a few things that I try to find out what is going on. But if the population, the workers have aged, then open the doors for them to come from other surrounding areas. Do something positive to keep the jobs here.
You know, Mike, you know, Larkin, you hit it right, the nail right on the head with supply and demand. With Roaring Springs going out, now my school supplies, you know, 90% of them came from Roaring Springs. Now I have a problem when I do store in stores. So that supply that Larkin's talking about, he's dead on. I mean, he knows the stuff because you can't do what I want to do without having the supply. So we're slowly growing these people we deal with alone. They hire another, you know, we're allowing them to sustain their jobs, but then hopefully hire and buy equipment and grow these companies again. We need more and more supply. But when you hear a Roaring Springs or any of them, which is still happening as we speak, going out of business, leaving the country, and it's not just for a dollar, they've got to survive. But boy, if we could change and if political leaders could help really change and keep Roaring Springs and start doing this one at a time and people get involved to help them and see what their issues are, make a difference, that would help, because otherwise we're going in, you know, backwards again.
You know, Mark, I don't know, you probably know, they're 125 years old. They were 125 years old in 2012 and in the same place. So, I mean, they have somebody came in and said, why should you worry about all this overhead and everything else? We can bring you the same product from overseas. And you're going to make a lot of money. Your family's going to be well off, blah, blah. You'll be able to sell these properties or whatever for condos or whatever. The problem that we have in all the counties in Pennsylvania and all the counties across the U.S., hey, without jobs, people can no longer afford these fancy places.
And, Mike, just so our listeners know, Roaring Springs Supplies, the Made in America stores, are basic school supplies from first grade to 12th, your paper, your folders, you know, all the just simple notebooks and notepads. It's simple, basic stuff, but what a great department it formed for us. So it's really sad for us to hear and see, and hopefully we don't watch it happen.
Now, Mark, let me ask you this. We'll do it on air because a lot of the stuff I'm going to do with this may go public too. When you got a call from them to tell you that they were slowly going to downsize, outsource, how did that work out?
Yeah, my buyer received an email, and they said, just FYI, we will be going overseas with our operations starting in 2016, just to give us notification that they won't be able to supply us. Right away, I had Rob's, you know, reply, hey, you know, when you going out, could we buy the product you have left, you know, because this is an issue for us, because it was so hard to find a company that supplies notebook pad and the basic stuffs. Nobody realizes I don't have a pencil in my store because, you know, they don't make the carbon no more here, or the lead, you know, which is really hard to believe. We don't have a pencil 100% made in our country. But so it's very hard. So that's where it went. Rob went back, and they said, well, it won't be happening until about March or April. We still have enough supply for you to stay through the first quarter, and back and forth a little bit, and that was kind of it. You know, at that point, then, you know, Lark and you, I believe, emailed, and, you know, Mike, you made the call. But I think we can make difference by kind of looking into it and see why.
Yeah, I want to know why this is happening and what could be done. I'd like to see Senator John Eichelberger go over there and talk to them and see what could be done. This is a business bringing in jobs to his Blair County. They're paying their taxes. They're paying their personal income tax, the people who are working and all. I don't understand why the elected officials, as soon as they heard about it, didn't go over there personally and make an appeal. What can we do to keep you to stay? What's killing you? And what is going to make this a positive situation?
Yeah, and
let
Mike
me talk
and Mark,
about,
you know, you being from Pennsylvania, maybe we can, as our radio team here, make a difference in this one small company. And if we can keep doing that, who knows? It would be an awesome story, awesome to save them and keep them here. Even a partial percentage of it made in America.
So let me tell you about our national leaders. And where the issue is. This morning I was riding back from taking care of my grandchildren, got them off to school when I was coming home, and I was listening to NPR, and they talked about a company from Spain, wholly owned by the Spanish. I think it's publicly held, so maybe some Americans own some stock in it. I don't know, but they're about to declare bankruptcy. They do desalination plants. They do nuclear energy. They run those plants and build them and blah, blah, blah. They're a multi-billion dollar a year energy force. Obama personally saw to it that when they started to have a problem, started to have an issue, he personally handled a deal, marshaled a deal where they were lent something in the range of like two, given loan guarantees from the government for about $2 billion to get them through a bankruptcy issued last year. Now they've burned through that money, and they're looking for they're still looking for more money. So here we are. The government's bailing out a Spanish company that's got issues because it's a billion-dollar government, and probably some of the stock is owned by the one percenters in this country. I have no idea. All I can tell you is, where is our government? Where are the local congressmen when this company screams that it's got to go overseas by virtue of the cost of product and their inability to get workers or whatever the issue is? Where's our government now? Where's the help coming from now that says, hey, what can we do? How can we help you? Loan guarantees, is that what it is? I mean, is it a cash issue?
Mark, and imagine if I got a $2 billion cash flow injection. We'd have a Made in America store in every town. You guys would be busy right away because I'd change your life. But incredible.
That's true.
Well, there's your, you know, guys, I was here, just to be clear. Things quieted down when I get off the air, and you guys talk much more sensibly than I do. So I'm listening intently. Crony capitalism, right, Larkin? More crony capitalism, and you know, Made in America, what we're doing here. Look, it's hard work. You know, it's hard work, and it's a lot of work running a successful business and preserving the republic. You know, it just is. I mean, to the education, Mark, you know, knowing, you know how we learned about the haves and the have-nots in school? Well, you know, my modern take on that is the no's and the no-nots. I think more than political parties, more than ideologies, the future strength of our country is going to be largely dictated by the no's and the no-nots. And the no-nots influence all of us by virtue of not really knowing anything important, maybe staying home rather than voting. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to know what's going on. It's a lot of work to know what government's doing. There's always a little bit, Michael, of a leap of faith, you know, when we cast votes. That might be embodied perhaps better than ever before in modern history next year, because there's a very real prospect of people that a year ago we couldn't have imagined being a presidential nominee, maybe. So there's always a little bit of that, but it's a lot of work. We got to just keep at it, Mark.
Rich, you know, Americans are starved.
Keep at it.
They're hungering for a real leader.
I hope, Michael.
Somebody that'll
right.
make a revolution of positive
so.
Change in America. They're starving for it.
I mean, ultimately, problems with leadership, all of these things, elected officials, no matter how we slice it and dice it, guys, it's always on, it's on us, the electorate. You know, that's the good news and the bad news. The good news is we can control our destiny more than we can, or more than we think we can. And yes, certain things are out of our control. But the good news is we can influence things. The bad news is too many of us just want to have someone do it for us. You know, and that, Mark, you know, to get back to your point of education, look at all these stories popping up with colleges and universities going to the college president and talking about their feelings were hurt and somebody said something offensive. I mean, we got to draw the line in the sand somewhere between knowing and not knowing and having someone always wanting to do it for you. I want someone to do it for me. So if the mindset collectively, Michael, changes and this hunger you're talking about continues to grow, yeah, we've got a real shot at really continuing to make a positive difference. We're not economically, we're still the top place, but we can't just use that as an excuse not to try and get better. And that's why I said earlier, there's a skill and there's an art form to talking about our issues, what we need to fix, but not being a constant apologist. And all of these groups and these fake outrage activist organizations that are all springing up, you know, everyone, all these coddled university and college stories of these students that we're hearing about. Bottom line, guys, is these guys got to grow the hell up. You know, they got to grow up, and they got to go from the no-nots into our group of the no's.
Yep,
And it's got to happen.
It is happening. And one of the things that I'm really pleased, I want to tell all of our listeners, you're doing a great job going out to the stores and asking about American-made labels, why there are so few products sold in any particular store that have anything to do with American industries. This does have an effect on the buyers, on the employees, on the managers, and they are saying, they are responding to me, that you get the supply moving and we will make the demand happen. And that's where, you know, we have to do this in 2016. We're going to have to go on a major campaign, support America's manufacturers. In fact, we have such an internet site reserved. It's supportamericasmanufacturers.com. It goes right to our radio program right now. We also have another one, Support Our Manufacturers, which is going to have a nice flag in the background, an American flag. And people tell me, you know, when I go into the stores and there are a lot of these people from the Orient or whatever who are the storekeepers, the owners, I don't want to offend them by asking them. Don't think you're offending them. They're pleased to hear from you because they see you're a customer at their store. A person who owns a store in America can be of a thousand nationalities, but they want your business. So if you tell them that you want to see more American and also a 50-50 balance between foreign and America, that's what they're going to do because they want to satisfy their customers. Gentlemen,
Michael, I just want to make one last point before we go. For people that are thinking it's such a Herculean effort to try to change things for the good, we got the holiday season coming up, Christmas, Hanukkah, any other religious holiday. One purchase by people at a small business, and think about how much revenue that brings into small businesses collectively. Just one.
Yes, and I plead with everybody, please go out during National Small Business Weekend this weekend and support all of your local stores. Well, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see by the clock on the wall, it is time to say until next Wednesday or this Saturday. I want to thank all of our sponsors. I will acknowledge them tomorrow and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Thank you for all of your help. We appreciate all that you do for our communities and to help us support the Buy American Made campaign. Larkin, Mark, Rich, and all of our listeners, my best to you. Don't forget, go out this weekend and shop National Small Business Weekend. And if you'd like to send me a note, contact me at michael@americanworkersradio.com. Thanks, everybody.
Guys, have a great week. Believe, I got to get back to work on them toasters for Larkin.
Oh, yeah, it's getting close.
Ooh, 23 days left.
Have a great one, all.